What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Double M Live.
Yes,
you
sir.
You already know who it is. Episode number 87 with Mike Nice. I am DJ Nice. How are you guys doing on another lovely Tuesday night? Number 87, Mike.
Number 87. Shout out to the former Patriot, Rob Gronkowski.
Rob Gronkowski.
Still getting it done, just in a different uniform now.
Yes, sir.
Do you hate the man?
I see Rob Gronkowski in a different light. I don't hate him. Just the whole how he left situation, retiring where it screwed the Patriots, when the timing of when he retired late as possible as he did. And then coming back, joining Brady. I think maybe it's just me, but I think the luster of how we love Rob Gronkowski is not the same. Still had no problem with the guy. He's a Patriots great, but it's just not the same. It's not the same love anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'll look back at Rob Gronkowski's career once it's really done, and I'll be thankful for everything he's done in the Patriots uniform. Happy with the championships that he's won. But as far as him right now, like I just don't care for Gronkowski. Not like in a bad way.
Right.
He's just not a player I pay attention to. Like Brady is different. I still cheer for Tom Brady. I still root for Tom Brady. But Gronk, he's just another player on a different team to me now. You know, no hatred towards him. Again, thankful for his years in the Patriots uniform. But he could have gone to the Bucks. He could have went ever. And I'm just like, all right, cool. We'll see you down the line years later when, you know, he'll go into the Patriots Hall of Fame. He'll be a Hall of Famer. You know, I'll check back in with Gronk when that comes around.
Gave us great memories. And you know, when you talk about Patriots, there's not many playmakers in our generation for the Patriots. You had Randy Moss, of course, and then the next play you think of is really Rob Gronkowski. When you think about like top plays that made you go wow in a Patriots uniform, it's Rob Gronkowski. Had many of those, whether he was blocking, you know, one hand catches, any of those things. Rob Gronkowski really did it for the New England Patriots. But like you said, man, it's not the same love right now as he is gearing up for another Super Bowl run.
It's crazy.
He has how many? Four.
He has four? No, he has three.
You sure?
Wait, four? He was here for the Seahawks. He was here for Atlanta. Oh, he does have four. Wow. Seahawks,
four
Atlanta,
rings.
Eagles, and then they
wait,
beat
no,
the
we didn't.
He didn't play in one of them, but he was still on the team.
We didn't beat the Eagles, brother.
Oh, I'm
Rams.
Rams. Sorry. Seahawks, Falcons, Rams.
He wasn't at the Atlanta game. Can you believe that? That's just another thing that doesn't get talked about with the 28-3 run. We didn't even have Rob Gronkowski.
Patriots did not have Rob Gronkowski and still was able to make that epic comeback.
Imagine you have a healthy Rob and 2011 Super Bowl.
Oh, he was hobbled that game against the Giants. Yeah, I try not to think about that one too much. But, I mean, shout out to Rob Gronkowski. Again, like you said, thankful for his years in the Patriots uniform. But we move on.
We move on. And there's a lot. We're going to do some Patriots talks. It's been a while here on Double M that we had Patriots talk. But before I'm jumping the gun here, I'm going to pass it back to you, Mike Nice. What's on the playlist?
As we here are recording episode 87 of Double M Live. What we have on the playlist tonight, just had some breaking news not too long ago. As again, we record here on a Tuesday night. The Celtics have made an acquisition. They made a move in free agency and signed former Laker guard Dennis Schroeder. His situation and how it's gotten to this point is wild. We'll definitely dive into that really soon. But Celtics have just signed Dennis Schroeder to a one-year deal. Celtics have a new point guard. Also, if you've been keeping up with the Patriots in training camp, the talk of the town right now is the quarterback position and Mac Jones the first round pick for the New England Patriots, and the former NFL MVP, Superman Cam Newton. The battle is back and forth. Who's better, Cam or Mac? Who's going to start, Cam or Mac? Marv and I will give our thoughts and opinions on that battle going on, but also, most importantly, we want to hear your thoughts and opinions as well. Team USA Basketball, both the men and women brought home the gold. Women, they've just been somewhat running through teams and running through these Olympics.
I saw a stat, and I know we're going to get into it, but they haven't lost a game since 92.
Yeah, the women, Team USA, the women have been just running through the Olympics nonstop. Men, on the other hand, while they did bring home the gold, you know, and they did shut a lot of people up, including myself, but has times really changed for men's basketball in the Olympics, especially when it comes to Team USA? We'll dive into that as well. There's a new drink making its rounds, or soon to be making its rounds. Mountain Dew is tossing their hat in the liquor game.
The soda?
We ain't talking soda here. It may got some carbonation, some bubbles. We ain't talking soda here. I promise you that. So we'll get into that conversation as well. But yeah, per usual here on Double M, as we get into these topics, we have you guys tuned in. Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, and most importantly, make sure you share this out. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Double M is live right now, and we want you to join the conversation with us. It doesn't happen without you.
Yeah, man. So let's get right into it, man. Episode 87 here on Double M Media. The Boston Celtics are currently playing in a summer league game against the Denver Nuggets as we speak. So basketball is on its way. And we knew that the Celtics were going to have to make some changes with this team. We spoke about it in our last show, how, you know, they got rid of Kemba, they got rid of Tristan, you bring in Horford, a new player in Bruno, who's currently playing right now. You brought in Josh Richardson, Chris Dunn. So you made some low-key moves. Enes Kanter, another acquisition that maybe Udoka said you didn't know how to use him, Brad. Bring him over here.
I will.
And now, another acquisition here is Dennis Schroeder. I mean, there's two conversations we can have right now. We can have what he can bring to the Celtics, and then we could talk about
the mighty fall.
The mighty freaking fall of Dennis Schroeder. Let's not get it twisted. Schroeder had a good season. Like, when we're talking regular season, Schroeder had a good season with the Los Angeles Lakers.
I had him on my fantasy team.
Everyone remembers the Lakers fall because Anthony Davis got hurt and everything like that, and it got bounced in the first round. Lakers were everyone's favorite to win the championship. And that was with Dennis Schroeder as their point guard. When you replace Rondo with Schroeder, everyone said that is an upgrade, yeah. which it was, and Schroeder played well. Then the Lakers said, you know what? We like how you're doing, and we think that you can be part of the team for the long run. We really like you, Schroeder. Here's $84 million. Schroeder said, $84 million? Nah, I'm thinking more 95, 100. Lakers said, oh, okay. And then, Mike, the playoffs happened. First he got COVID. I believe he got COVID during the end of the year. So he was struggling from there. And then the playoffs happened, and there was some donuts. You don't want to throw donuts when you're playing basketball. Donuts mean you went 0-for. And the rest is history. Lakers got Westbrook, and Dennis Schroeder was on the market.
Yeah, man. It's crazy to think, you know, Dennis Schroeder was on up and up. Not saying like his career is over, like he's still mid-20s or something, mid to late 20s. I don't even know. But he was in a good position, a situation where, you know, he came to the Lakers, chance to really prove himself, play against two great players, play alongside two great players like LeBron and Anthony Davis. And like you said, Mark, they like what they saw. They offered an extension. But Schroeder thought, he thought his stuff didn't stink, and say, hey, that is beneath me. I'm looking for more, Lakers. And Lakers say, you want more than that? Well, good luck. And then, you know, again, if the ball was in his court, if he performed well throughout the end of the season and into the playoffs, he probably would have secured what he was maybe looking for. But because he put up a stinker in the playoffs, like you said, Marv, the market for that dude was dry. Free agent hit.
Sahara.
Free agency hit, and guys are going left and right, moving bang, 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 bang. This player is moving and getting contracts. It's probably worse than Schroeder. Like, Duncan Robinson got, what, 4 years, 90 million stuff?
But Duncan Robinson is a specialist.
Well, yeah, he got his job.
He's a specialist.
But, like, overall, I think I'd take Schroeder and what he's able to bring as a player. But, yeah. It was real slow for Dennis Schroeder in free agency. And, you know, it was going to come down to this. Once he got this far, no team was going to give him no type of 3 year, 4 year, 80, 90, 100 mil, whatever he was looking for. It wasn't happening this deep into the free agency game. And I mean, I didn't know if the Celtics would be able to do it because, you know, all the talk you've been hearing this free agency is. Celtics are restricted with money and the type of moves that they can make. And not only are they restricted, but they're trying to stay as flexible as possible. So they don't want to do anything crazy. But, you know, I think it's a great move for the Celtics in terms of wanting to have a point guard, a legitimate point guard. It's a great move for Schroeder in a sense because you get a chance to prove yourself again in the league. And, you know, I don't know if you'll be getting some type of crazy contract from the Celtics after the season. But if you play good enough, you can put yourself on the market and maybe get a solid contract that you're looking for. Now, the question is now that Schroeder's on the team, and I'm seeing some comments, shout out to Jay saying he likes the move because besides, you know, Jason and Jalen, where was the offense going to come from? He also likes the fact that he's a good facilitator and is a better scorer than Marcus Smart and plays D. Sam over here. Is happy that Schroeder's not even a Laker anymore. So I guess, you know, there was some hatred from him. But the main question I want to ask that now he's on the team, and this goes for you guys who are tuned in and Marv, you as well. Schroeder's on the team. Is he automatically your starting point guard? Or knowing that, and I saw the stat line earlier, in the last four seasons, he's averaged like 15 points a game. Do you put him off the bench as your sixth man and then start Smart because Smart already knows how to play with the Jays. He knows, well, I can't really say the system because Udoka's a new coach, but he knows how to play alongside the Jays. What do you do with Schroeder now that he's on the team?
Schroeder starts. You have to start. And for the reason that Jay brought up, he can score. And when you lose a Kemba Walker and you lose an Evan Fournier, those were your other scoring options right there. Those were your scoring punches. Schroeder, you can't just have the two Jays be your offensive weapons, especially when neither of them are there yet when it comes to becoming facilitators. You get a guy into Schroeder who's not going to demand much from scoring-wise, averaging 15 points a game. That's all the Celtics really need from their point guard. And he knows how to get the stars the ball. He's a decent three-point shooter. He can get to the rack, which I like. And my favorite part about Schroeder is he's tough. He's a tough player. Yes, if it went down south with the Lakers at the end of the year. We all know that, and he definitely fumbled the ball. But now you're in a contract year. You're in a prove-it year with a Celtics team pretty much. They're not going to be sought at. No one's looking at the Celtics as a team that's going to make any noise this year. So all of these guys should go into this year hungry, and Schroeder brings that toughness. He gets into players' faces, and you could see how he annoys the hell out of point guards. Which you want, especially if he's going to be playing alongside Marcus Smart, is going to bring back that 2017 feel where you had the James Crowder and IT and young Marcus Smart, Evan Turner, just getting into players' faces and showing that you're not going to back down. The Celtics need that. What did I hate about the Celtics last year and the year before? Soft. They were soft. Like, I don't even care if you're missing shots or your offense is not working out. You can't be soft. And I think Schroeder brings a little toughness to this team. I swear to God, if we have another example of what happened last year when you got players wiping their feet on the logo and you just there dapping them up and hugging them and singing their praises, that can't be the Celtics this year. We need some toughness. And I'm not saying Dennis Schroeder's some big, bad bully, but he's a player that doesn't care.
Not backing down.
He's not going to back down, and that's all you need from a team.
I don't know.
From a player.
I'm on the fence still in terms of whether I see him as a starter or off the bench as a sixth man. Like, after Jason and Jaylen, who is the next best scorer on the team? Is it automatically Schroeder now that he's here?
Offensive-wise?
Offensively, who's the next best scorer after Jason Brown and
I think
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum?
I don't know if Pritchard's there yet to take that next scoring role. I think it's Schroeder, veteran player, knows how to attack the basket, can shoot decently. He's improved his jump shot. I think Schroeder is your next offensive weapon.
So because of that, and then just kind of visualizing who the Celtics are bringing off the bench, do you have Schroeder be that scoring punch off the bench? Because you know Tatum and Brown are going to do their thing with the starting lineup.
That's not enough, though. It's proven. It's been proven that it's not enough. As we saw that it wasn't enough.
So, I'm on the fence. Because I love the fact that Schroeder, while he can score, he's a great facilitator. And if you have good to facilitate out there with Jason and Jaylen, I like that with them.
Now,
the same time, it's the fact
if that Chris Dunn was proven.
Okay.
If Chris Dunn was proven as a point guard and could facilitate and such, then yes, I would say, yeah, bring Dennis Schroeder off the bench. But Chris Dunn's not proven. Pritchard's not there yet. It has to be Schroeder to lead the team. At the end of the day, you need a point guard to lead these guys. And Schroeder's a smart enough player, has a good enough IQ, and once again, toughness. That's why they brought. That was a big reason why they had to bring Marcus Smart off the bench. The starting five was soft. You need someone there that's gonna get in the nose when they start off games.
Okay, so assuming Schroeder starts. And I don't know what other kind of moves the Celtics are looking to make or may make. Who knows? But looking at the team we have, you know, this team that they have right now, who's the starting lineup? I see Jay here saying he thinks that they need to cut Dunn. I don't know if you cut Dunn because I think
Dunn's shown flashes.
I think through training camp and preseason, Dunn and Pritchard are going to it's going to be a battle between Dunn and Pritchard. One of them two are not coming off the bench or going to see very minimal time. And if assuming Schroeder's, you're going to be possibly a starting point guard, that those backup minutes are going to go to Pritchard or Dunn. Both have a lot to prove.
Yeah, Dunn's a young player. He doesn't give a damn about no Peyton Pritchard. He's a young player trying to establish himself in this league as well. And as we saw last year, once Kemba goes down, it's your point guard was looking sorry. You had Peyton playing at times. He's just a rookie. He's still learning the system. Yep. You had Jeff Teague, and we saw how that worked out. He went on his like third team that year. Won a chip. Shout out to him. But you need point guard depth. You need that point guard depth. So you keep all of them, in my opinion. And you had, like you mentioned in training camp, you have them battle it out.
Yeah. Back to my original question, though, thinking about the starting lineup. I think Schroeder's a lock, Jason's a lock, Jaylen's a lock. And that's point guard, shooting guard. You know, Tatum's going to probably play power forward. Robert Williams?
You brought him here, so he has to start.
Who is sliding
you got rid in? Of, you got rid of Tristan. You got rid of Daniel Tice. The role's there for Robert Williams to start. And when he started to start at the end of the year, he was solid. I mean, he still makes defensive mistakes and such, but now you're going into your fourth year? It's crazy that we're talking about Robert Williams and he's entering his fourth year now. So, like, with Horford there to help mentor him and get him aligned, I think Robert Williams can be your five. But the thing about Robert Williams as your five, as good as he is as a dunker role, he hurts offensively as well at times because he's not going to be he's if you're not throwing him oops, that's it.
Yeah,
it's pick and rolls with him. There's no pick and pop. Players are not gonna sink in when it comes to Robert Williams. So he hurts you sometimes offensively if the guys don't have it going on all cylinders.
And that's another element to his game where he's still young enough that he can improve that. If you can pull up for a little foul line jumper off a pick and pop, that's something I think Robert Williams, damn near Kendrick Perkins, was working on adding that to his game. I mean, was he a nasty mid-range knockdown shooter? No, but at least to be a threat out there.
I mean, and there's still a possibility. Jay's bringing up his starting five. There's still a possibility that Horford does start, and maybe you want Horford starting just so he can stretch the floor a little bit when you start games, and then Williams probably going to get the bulk of the minutes, but you have Horford there just for his defensive IQ and to be able to stretch the floor, and he's decent defensively. He didn't play much last year, so his legs should be fresh.
Yeah, very.
Richardson. Very interested to see his role on the team. This is a guy who's been a starter, who's been also a six man who can play both. Him and Marcus Smart are really interchangeable in how they play. Richardson's another guy who plays two-way deep. He's a two-way player. Not the greatest scorer, but smart offensively. And defensively, he's not going to hurt you. This team is shown. I like this roster.
Yeah.
For what has happened, the little moves. If one of these guys can hit like Chris Dunn, if one of those players can really, become something.
Horford can be what he was in 2016 and 17.
Right. Give you a little bit of something like that. Then I'm really talking myself into this roster right now. It's not the greatest, but you're bringing toughness into it. Like Josh Richardson, you lose Evan Fournier. Well, Evan Fournier in French means soft. So you bring in Josh Richardson.
You said Evan Fournier in French me soft. I'm laughing because you speak French. So you could be right. I don't know. You could be right. I don't know. Does this roster scream, hey, we're about to knock off Milwaukee or Brooklyn in the series? Not this year. But at the same time, it's a team with two young players still who are two young stars. And they're surrounded by some veterans. Like that lineup, that Jay just put up, Tatum and Brown. And if they start Horford, Tatum and Brown are surrounded by veterans. I mean, Horford's, on the older side, but Schroeder's been in the league for a little bit now. Richardson's been in the league for a little bit now and a little bit of a journeyman. So, like, all we've been asking for in the last couple of years with this team is, hey, you got these two stars, young stars. Put some veteran players, some tough veteran players around them who know their role and can play their role well and see what can happen.
Do we have, if someone can look it up or you can look it up, Richardson's contract? Do you remember what Richardson's contract is?
I'm not sure, but I will check. I'm also questioning or curious to see what kind of offense or what kind of system Udoku's going to run. Because in a sense, I'm looking at this team and Celtics, part of me still thinking like, okay, thinking of like a Brad Stevens ran system and offense. How different or what kind of difference maybe should we expect to see from Udoku coming from San Antonio and coming from he's in Milwaukee, he's in Philly.
It's going to be San Antonio ran, right? You're talking about he was under Pop. And then when he was with the Sixers, he was under Brett Brown, who was another, disciple of Popovich. So it could be around their ball movement. I think it's still going to be the same that Brad Stevens was preaching. When he was speaking, everything he was bringing up was defense. Defense, defense, defense is what he was really focused on. Because you guys remember last year, Celtics were giving up 120, 130 points a game to teams. It really didn't matter what the Celtics were doing offensively. The reason I ask about Josh Richardson's contract is the Marcus Smart Richardson situation. So if we go by Jay's lineup where Richardson's starting, you have to realize there is a risk you lose Marcus Smart. Marcus wants a new contract. Marcus wants an extension. You take him off the bench. his value definitely goes down. He could still be a six man. He could still, but Marcus Smart at his best is when he's getting minutes, and he's a guy who closes for your team. And if you look at this, the way the roster is set up, there might be times where Marcus Smart doesn't close for your team because you have a Josh Richardson. You're not going to take out Brown and Tatum. And if Schroeder's got it going, where's Marcus Smart fit into this? So I'm really interested to see Richardson's contract compared to Smart and say, if Richardson's contract's not crazy, I see him coming off the bench and having Smart start. Because I don't see how happy Smart will be coming off the bench with this team.
So Richardson signed a four-year, $41, $42 million contract with Miami in the 2018-2019 season, and now he's in the final year of that deal.
So he's on a contract year as well.
He will be an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season.
Which is another reason the Celtics made that trade, because you want to get as much as expiring contracts as you can to make hopefully another big splash into this year. So
another guy who's playing with something to prove.
So, but another guy who could get traded by February. When you're talking about expiring contracts and such, he could be a guy that gets moved. Who knows?
Ooh, okay. Somebody we haven't talked about and is not getting talked about at all.
For
and
a reason.
I still have hope and belief that Jabari Parker can add something to this team. I'm looking at the four position, the stretch four position. Who's really there? Horford, I guess, can play a little bit of four. Tatum's a four. After that, there's no real four or stretch four on this team. That has to be Jabari Parker. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Jabari Parker showed flashes a little bit when the Celtics got him. He showed flashes. Because mind you, Jabari Parker's only maybe 25, 26 years old. So he's not an old player in this league. He's a year, 2 years older, 3 years older than Tatum and Brown. He showed flashes last year when he got some time. And there was especially a game where I don't think Tatum or Brown played. And I don't know if they started Parker or did he just had a lot of minutes. And he balled. He went off. So my thing with Parker is, and I've said this many times, he was in Sacramento where he wasn't getting any playing time or they weren't playing him for whatever reason. He just fell out the rotation and he was not in shape. I don't think he's been in shape for a long time because he hasn't been playing meaningful basketball. At 26 years old, if he can get in shape and show somewhat flashes or get even close to what he was in those early healthy years in Milwaukee, that's a solid player to have off your bench. I know I saw the Grant Williams name pop up. Grant Williams shouldn't get any playing time. And he probably will, depending on defense.
You know why he gets more playing time than Parker?
Defense. He plays better defense. I'll give him that. He's a better defensive player than Parker.
The thing about putting Parker at the four, there's a reason why Brad didn't put him at the four and Brad put him at the five. He's going to get cooked. It's really embarrassing. It was embarrassing watching Parker try to defend. Like, I was a big Parker fan coming out of college and such. And you just watch it, and it's like, oh, my God, you gotta move him some. You have to hide him. You have to hide him. And he can't play over any more than 12 minutes a game because, yeah, he can give you some offensive push at times. But in a meaningful game, Parker can't play if he can't move. The man can't move his feet whatsoever. You're talking about the stretch four position. Wings are going to go at Parker every single time, and he becomes a huge liability. Grant Williams, Grant's not a great player. We understand that. But at least Grant Williams moves his feet. He moves his damn feet.
Well, just like we said earlier, there's going to be a battle in training camp, possibly a backup point guard with Pritchard and Dunn. Another guy who's going to need to really show out in training camp and preseason is Jabari Parker. I mean, they initially signed him to a two-year deal. I know it was under Danny Ainge. It wasn't Brad Stevens. But when they spoke to Brad Stevens in the initial press conference after they got Jabari Parker, he spoke about how he believed, you know, he's going to be a project. There's a reason why they signed him for 2 years, because they feel like they can work him into the system. So, you know, he has to prove that he's worth being on the court. He has to prove that he can play for that playing time. I don't think, you know, he's earned anything yet. Again, he showed flashes, but he hasn't earned anything yet. He has a lot to show in this upcoming, you know, training camp and preseason for sure.
If he can knock down the three consistently, which he wasn't able to do, but if he can knock down the three consistently, he can make a roster spot with the Celtics. But the three ball needs to go in, because we know he's offensively gifted in the mid-range, inside scoring and such. But if he can get that three ball and just care, show some type of care. Another reason why the Celtics were so annoying, seemed like at times they didn't care. And Jabari Parker is the epitome of I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, he's just a nonchalant guy, you know, soft-spoken. I'm looking at his stats now, his best year. From the three-point range, he shot 38%, and then, you know, kind of fell off after that.
But it's again, huge. The three is going to be huge for him.
Yeah, if he can get close to – I mean, he had 2 years in Milwaukee where he shot 36 and 38%. Are those great numbers? No, but they're not terrible. And then because he bounced around the following years after that, it was inconsistent play and whatnot. It was definitely in the 20%, but – if he can get close to being a 38, 36% shooter from three, where he was chucking up almost three threes a game in Milwaukee, it's going to be huge for the Celtics, like you said.
Yeah, man, I'm not mad at this roster. Like I said, if one of these players hit, I'll add Jabari Parker into the scene. Jabari Parker, Chris Dunn, Peyton Pritchard maybe takes that next step. You're seeing the second rounder Yam that everybody's fascinated with. One of those can hit and add some, you know, some punch to this team. I think Jalen is obviously going to take another step. Tatum's going to take another step. Not big steps. I mean, they've arrived. You know, they arrived and they are who they are. But I think they can develop in other ways as basketball players. This team is not bad, man. I'm not mad at it.
Last Celtics question here before we move on.
Right.
Nesmith, Langford.
Yeah.
Is there room for both of them to play, or is there only one spot for one of them to shine?
There's room for both. There's absolutely, and there's going, I think that's what the Celtics are banking on. They're banking on Nesmith and Langford to take that next step developmentally. I mean, Nesmith, we brought him in here as a shooter, and the guy just has not been able to knock them down consistently yet. Hopefully it works out. Romeo Langford, everyone's fascinated by his defense. He played well. He hit the game winner in the last summer league. But I think the Celtics are banking on those two players, those two young players, to give a spark defensively and sometimes offensively as well off the bench. And that's what the Celtics are banking on. This is a development year. They want to see what they have out of Nesmith and Langford.
All right. Well, according to Jay, Nesmith's going off today with 30 points.
Word.
In the summer league. So like you said, he's a shooter. You can consistently be a shooter and you got that role carved out for you. You'll definitely get playing time for sure.
Another player who shows toughness and Nesmith. I mean, he's a little wild. He's a little erratic when he's out there playing basketball, but he shows a little toughness. So I think this is the year we're going to have to give some of these young guys a chance. And that's what Coach Udoko's saying in his press conference. He'll say, hey, we got to see what we have out of all of these first round picks that Danny Ainge collected. So we'll see.
Okay. All right. Going to get ready to switch gears a little bit here. How we looking over there? How we looking? Solid. Cool. Let's get into some football talk. NFL season is right around the corner. Patriots football is gearing up to go. And the big storyline right now for this upcoming 2021 season, who's going to be the starting quarterback? Who's looking better in training camp? Who's going to get that nod come week one? Cam Newton versus Mac Jones. That's everything the media is focused in now. If you are on Twitter and, you know, you got all these media reporters at training camp, all you see, oh, but Mac Jones, what a pass to this guy. Look great. Oh, Cam Newton, a pass to this guy. Oh, boy. Oh, that's all you see. That's all you hear. Because, you know, as much as Bill has came on and said he believes Cam, well, he's saying Cam Newton's going to be the starting quarterback, nobody is buying it, and the questions are still up in the air. That's where we're at right now. If you're a Patriots fan, that's the major topic of conversation around town.
Yeah, man. Mac Jones seems like he's making things difficult over there and in Foxborough, really playing well and rebounding off of mistakes and such. And it seems like he's picked up the system very well. You know, Cam has not had a bad training camp at all, but he hasn't had an exceptional one. And that's the reason why, you know, we're hearing these Mac Jones murmurs. And my whole thing is, I wanted to talk about how it's being covered. It really seems like, and this is not going to be a shock to people who watch Double M, what I'm about to say here, it really seems like the beat writers want to get Cam the hell up out of there. It's just Mac Jones, everything Mac Jones does is gold, and what Cam's doing, we don't hear enough about it. If Cam throws a nice pass to a receiver, we're hearing about the receiver. Mac throwing a dime to a receiver, we're hearing about it with Mac. And this could be many reasons for that. People could be fed up about what Cam, people could be fed up of how Cam performed last year. Some people were never happy that Cam was the quarterback to begin with. We are in Massachusetts, where we know the history when it comes to how fans and media treat African-American players. So that could be also a thing to it. You invested a first-round pick with Mac Jones, and people just want to see what the kids got. So there's a lot of factors into it, and I've been fascinated this past, 2 weeks now that training camp's been going on and how they've been covering Cam compared to Mac.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's the battle back and forth. Cam versus Mac, Mac versus Cam. And I think the overall census is this. Patriots fans, we're coming off 20 years of seeing a guy be the face of the organization, run the team. You know, 20 years ago, Tom Brady, yeah, he was taking the last pick in the draft, whatever, cool. But he was a young guy hoping to get a shot. And as a young guy hoping to get a shot, he finally got that shot, and he hung on to it for 20-plus years and found that success. New England Patriots, not a team where, oh, they got a quarterback for 2 years, and they jump to the next quarterback and hope that quarterback can pan out for a couple years and jump here. In recent history for the New England Patriots, they had a guy, and he's been great for 20 years, and that's what the most recent fans are used to with that. Now you fast forward to right now in the situation that the Patriots are in. You got Cam Newton. You brought him in to take over for Tom Brady last year, and he sucked. He wasn't that good. And, you know, everyone knew, okay, the Patriots need to draft a quarterback. They need to bring somebody onto this team that can hopefully be the future. They took a guy with a very high draft pick, and now you have him here. And I think most Patriots fans want to see that next young guy, similar to Tom Brady many years ago, step into that quarterback position, be great, and be great for many years. And obviously, it's not boding well for Cam Newton because his 2020 season sucked. If Cam Newton's 2020 season didn't suck, and, you know, they still went and drafted a quarterback, and you get into this 2021 season, I personally believe the conversation would be a little different. I think a lot of it is, well, we got Cam. Yeah, we still have Cam, but he sucked last year. Is he going to get any better? We drafted this kid, and he's playing well during training camp. Let's give him the ball and let him be the face of the franchise for the next 20 years. But like I said, because Cam's coming off a sorry year, it's not making it any easier for him. And as we listen and you read and see different things from training camp, it's back and forth. You know, one day they're doing good, another day they're doing bad, back and forth. But what it boils down to is I think most fans, whether you love Cam or hate Cam, and, you know, I like Cam Newton. I've been a fan of Cam Newton ever since he's been in the league. But as a Patriots fan, I would like to see, I don't care if it was any of those quarterbacks they took with that pick, but it's Mac Jones. I also would like to see the next young guy step into that role and see if he can carry the team similar to Tom Brady did. That's what I'm looking forward to. Is Mac Jones ready right now? It remains to be seen. They're giving Cam Newton another shot. But at the end of the day, I'm also looking forward to somebody becoming the starting quarterback of this team and hopefully bringing multiple years of success.
Doug says a thing with Mac, he faces the second unit on defense most of the time. That was the case the first week. That wasn't the case the second week.
Yeah, I've heard he's been facing the starters.
Yeah, no, he's been facing the starters. The first week, it was definitely Cam obviously got the first reps, and he still gets the first reps. But this second week now, Mac has got the bulk of reps that we all heard, but he's been facing the starting unit as well. And he's been playing well. He's been playing well. Dirk said, Jay says Thursday will be big. Yeah. I mean, the noise between Cam and Mac is about to get a lot louder. I mean, now we're entering preseason games. We're talking about now you really get to, everyone gets a look at Mac Jones. Everyone gets to see how does he handle in-game situation. And I don't think Cam is going to be playing the first week. That he didn't suit up for practice this week, and Mac got most of the reps. So
which is weird to me, because yeah, Cam's a veteran. I guess he's your starter, but like Jay is saying, excuse me, Thursday's going to be huge. I think all the preseason games should be huge, because Cam Newton's not coming off a season where he he's a solidified great quarterback in this league, or he had a great season. So I would personally think, and I know you're saying because Cam didn't suit up for practice and whatnot, he's probably not going to play the first preseason game. But in my opinion, Cam and Mac should both play a lot in the preseason. Obviously, no injury, but you need to see what you have in both of these guys.
Patriots know pretty much what you have in Cam. You're not going to put Cam out there in a week one practice against another team's bum squad, and then Cam gets hurt, and now you really have to force your hand and put everything on the rookie. You don't want to do that week one. You know, the Patriots know.
I'm not saying play him the whole game.
Yeah, but it wouldn't make sense
to
me. Not
even a quarter, a couple series?
Nah, it wouldn't make sense. Nothing at all? Not for the first week of preseason to have Cam out there. You drive to the first round pick.
The whole game?
I'm Stidham probably. Well, Stidham's hurt, so it's gonna be Mac and Hoyer.
Okay, note to self: only watch the first half.
Mac's gonna get some run, and you want Mac. You've invested a first round pick. You want to see everything how Mac handles these situations.
Yeah, got our guy Nick joining in here saying how excited he is for the preseason game on Thursday, because yeah, everyone is looking to see what you have in this heir apparent to the throne. Like I said, everybody's assuming Mac Jones is eventually going to get the keys to the ship and hopefully be that guy for the next 10, 15, whatever years. So people want to see this guy in game action, see what he's able to do when the lights are bright. You know, people are looking forward to it. I know I am. You're saying Cam's not going to play. Stidham's hurt. So it's the Mac Jones and Brian Hoyer show.
Mac and Hoyer, maybe a bum undrafted free agent might get.
Is there any other quarterbacks?
I'm really not sure. I've just made that. I don't think so. It's been Hoyer, Mac Jones, and Ken that's been getting all the reps. Nick says something though. He said it's going to mean so much. I think someone else mentioned that as well. That's going to mean so much. Is it? That's my question. So if Mac lights it up, does that move him up in the depth chart? Or if Mac doesn't play well, does that change everything for them and say, okay, well, Mac can't play? Does the week one preseason game really mean so much?
So you're saying Cam's not playing.
Cam's not playing.
So if Mac Jones comes out there, Cam's not playing. Belichick's already stated that Cam's going to be the week one starter of the NFL season. If Mac Jones comes out this week one preseason game and goes off, should that change how they view week one?
That's what I'm asking. Does this if Mac Jones lights it up, Will that change anything with the coach and how the coaching staff views things?
If no, because I'm believing that with Belichick coming out a few times now and stating Cam is the starter for this team,
he also came out and said the decision will be tough.
He said that, but he's also, whether he said that, he said Cam is the starter.
Yeah, but we got to remember, when like did he say ago, that?
I think he said it recently, maybe within the last week, he said it again, I believe.
You have to show me that. Because when he mentioned Cam was the starter, that's when they just drafted Matt Jones and seen nothing.
I'm pretty sure within the last couple of weeks, they've either asked him again, and if he didn't say Cam's the starter, he either did a Belichick type of answer where he said, I've already answered this question. It's one or the other, I believe. And I'm agreeing here with Jay. All it means if Mac plays well in these preseason games, the leash on Cam is going to be short. And that's something we discussed when we were doing our roundtable show with our guy Nick. I just think the better Mac Jones plays in these preseason games and he shows out during training camp, all it means is that, Cam, if you screw up at any point in the season, there's not going to be any real conversation. Oh, we have to evaluate and we have to check, or we got to take our time to think about what we're going to do. None of that. If Cam Newton sucks during the regular season, knowing that Mac Jones went off during preseason training camp, I think it'll be a quick switch. No hezzy.
Right. And so Derek's confirming that Belichick did say that last week, which further proves my question, emphasizing my question on how much does this week one preseason game really mean? If Mac Jones doesn't have a great game, are we supposed to say, oh my God, Cam Newton's the starter for the full season, we can't play Mac Jones whatsoever? We can't. No, it's a week one preseason, first action of a rookie's game. If he lights it up, if he lights it up, that's great. That means that gives Patriots fans and the organization something to look forward to. Like, okay, we made the right choice, it looks like. If he doesn't light it up, he has the advantage of saying he's a rookie.
Exactly. So I think he's not in a lose-lose situation in a sense. At the end of the day, it's either you light it up, oh boy, the future's bright, you suck, or you're a rookie.
And you guys mentioned the shorter leash. I honestly think the leash is short regardless for Cam. Belichick can't have two years in a row where he's contemplating whether to keep Cam, take him out in the fourth quarter, put Mac Jones in, and then put Cam back in. He's going to have to make a decision regardless. And I think the leash, and Cam knows that too, like the leash is short with him regardless moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. Like, I know everybody's hyped about these preseason games. We'll tune in. If it's like what Marv is saying, and it's going to be Mac Jones and a Brian Hoyer show, I promise you, the moment they make that substitution to Brian Hoyer, I'm turning off my TV. I don't care who's in the game. I'm all set on seeing Brian Hoyer drop back and throw football. I'm good.
Mike is fed up. How we looking, Sean? Smooth. Let's transition here. You know, Patriots talk, Celtics talk. We're gonna switch gears a little bit. Shout out to everyone who's watching. If you are watching right now, whether it's on a YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, give us a like. If you are new, definitely subscribe. This is Double M Live. That's Mr. Mike Nice. Go by DJ Meads. And we are happy to have you guys all here. Mike, I'm about to talk. Let's do a little throwback. You remember college?
Sure do.
College was a good time, man. We had a lot of fun in college.
Some of the greatest times of my life.
What a great time. You know, in college, you go out, you party, you have fun, you try new drinks. One new drink I tried when I was in college, Mike, Four Loko. You remember Four Locos? I had one of my worst nights with Four Locos.
Four Loko. Wow.
I had one of my worst nights with Four Loko. And if you don't know what Four Loko is, you're either too young, and that's a good thing, or you just never had it, and that's another good thing. It was a energy drink, caffeine, and just liquor. And one of those for like $3 will have you done. Put on your ass.
If you drank two, I'm just feeling real bold.
Yeah, you do not want to remember your night if you were having two Four Locos. I don't think I ever did that.
And on top of that, Four Locos, they were different at a time.
Yeah, the ones I had were not the original Four Locos.
The original Four Locos, I don't know if they was pumping them cans with gasoline and rubbing. I don't know what they was putting in the Four Locos, but it was different than the remixed versions that came out a little bit later. At least that's what all the reports said.
You never had the original Four Locos?
Listen, hold on.
You're still saying the reports.
I read the reports.
So did you have it or not?
My memory kind of foggy right now.
Ah, so you had it.
But continue where you're going with this story, well, this throwback here.
Yeah, so now it seems like Mountain Dew is they want to put their hand in the new seltzer wave that is going out right now. And they're creating their own liquor, hard Mountain Dew. And now everyone's bringing back, you know, the Four Loko days and saying Mountain Dew ain't slick. This is just another wave of a Four Loko that's coming up.
I tell you this, as a grown man that I am right now, I would never touch a Four Loko ever again in my life.
Yeah. If you are outside of, let me say this, let me look at the camera. If you are outside of college and you are drinking a Four Loko, you must reevaluate everything.
Yeah, think about where you headed.
Everything needs to be reevaluated with you. I don't care how cheap it is. Go get yourself a 40. Like, why are you drinking a Four Loko?
Yeah, not a chance that I'll ever have a can of Four Loko in my hand ever again. As an adult, as a grown man, if you see me with a Four Loko in my hand, please come check on me and make sure everything is good. Say, hey, Mike. How's life? Please check on me if you ever catch me with a Four Loko in my hand. But yeah, with Mountain Dew, I mean, hey, whether you like the original or the remix version, Four Loko had its hype. It had its time period where, and I mean, I don't know if it's still the thing that college kids are drinking now. I have no idea. There's millions of drinks out now. But during its height, Four Loko was that go-to drink. What you having in now? But I have to be off that Four Loko tonight. About to be off that Four Loko.
It was cheap, and it got cheap. The job done.
And yeah, if you want to feel a little buzz, have a good time, and not spend a lot of money, you'd probably get a Four Loko. So I don't know. My own dude's going to try their hand making a drink, a similar drink. Will it pop off the way Four Loko did? I don't know. Will I be trying the new Mountain Dew drink? Probably not. But if that's what you into, good luck, enjoy, be safe, drink responsibly.
Seltzers are the wave right now, and I'm not a huge fan. I understand they're light on calories and whatnot, and they're a great summer drink, but I don't think I'll be trying no Mountain Dew, hard Mountain Dew, whatever they're going by. I'm all set. You want me to drink something like that? Give me a Mike's Lemonade. You know?
That's as wild as I'll get.
Give me a Mike's Lemonade.
Nowadays, in my adulthood, give me a glass of wine. Some Pinot Grigio. Some red blend. If I'm feeling kind of sweet, give me a Riesling. But if I want it a dry, give me a... What's a good dry?
I'll tell you, my favorite.
Savion.
Cabernet Sauvignon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite right there. Cabernet Sauvignon.
That's a good one. So, yeah. Don't pass me no Four Loko or Mountain Dew Punch or whatever it's called.
Still said Mountain Dew punch.
Yeah, shout out to Sam. Swing me a wine cooler. Seagram's.
Seagram. They're too sweet.
It's like, I tell you what, I'm grown. But if I have a real drink, maybe a tequila or cognac, I will mix it with a little bit of Seagram.
Why do you keep saying you're grown?
Because I ain't drinking these locals anymore, Marv.
He's grown like five times. We know you grown, bro.
Okay, but I'm not drinking. All I'm saying, I'm not drinking these four locals and stuff anymore. That's beneath me.
So tequila, what's a good tequila drink? I'm not a tequila drinker.
You missing out here, bucko.
I'm all set.
Shout out to my tequila drinkers that might be watching. Me, I'm a little wild. You know, I know people like certain type of tequila mixes. If I like a certain type of juice or drink, I'll mix that with the tequila. I don't care. I know there's like certain go-to ones.
You just mix it with anything.
Give me tequila.
You have no standards?
Give me tequila and ginger ale and I'm fine.
Tequila?
Is that good to most people? Be like,
ginger ale.
I drink tequila and ginger ale. But you don't like tequila, so of course it's not going to sound good to you.
Yeah, don't sound appealing.
I drink it.
Clearly.
You have a little liquor? And if your stomach feel a little funny, you got the ginger. Just in case. I thought about that time. So I'm like,
That was your reason.
But I know my stomach kind of funny. I got the ginger ale just in case, just to coat it, just to make sure, you know. But yeah.
Oh, Dirk brought up something. Those Ritas were four summers ago. I missed the Rita. Who made those? What company made it? Was it Bud Light the Frescas, not the Ritas.
The Corona thing.
The Frescas. I didn't see that this summer. Yeah, I missed those. It got replaced with all this seltzer stuff. I'm all set.
What's the hot seltzer right now?
Truly?
Trulies, yeah. Trulies are all over the
place. Yeah, I'm all set with that. It doesn't do it for me.
Got Super Soaker saying pineapple cranberry ginger ale.
Ginger beer.
With tequila. Okay.
So yeah, I can do that with a cognac. I love a nice cognac with pineapple and cranberry. The nice mix with that. Those two right there.
Maybe one double M show. We got to do a taste testing.
That'll be good.
For the people.
We won't be taste testing no Mountain Dew, though.
No. But if you guys know about the different mixes, you send them double M's way. Maybe live on the show.
What's the perfect mix?
Yeah. What's the perfect mix? We'll test it out.
Ginger beer.
Ginger beer is bomb.
I don't think I've had many drinks with ginger beer.
Ginger beer is delicious. I love a good ginger
beer. So what would we have? We'll have our cognac or tequila.
Cognac and tequila, and we'll have some pineapple juice.
Cranberry juice.
Some cranberry juice.
What else will we put?
Gotta find where ginger beer is sold. Maybe get to the regular store or something.
Tell you this. Shout out to our EP. Maybe he can remind me what we did. It was one time I was in college. I was real broke. But Sam and I made a concoction off of $8. And it was amazing. It had to do with Arita. And I just forget everything else that was in it. But $8? It was great.
You don't remember nothing else that was in it?
Sam will remember. Because that drink was amazing.
Dirk, going shot for shot has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Dirk, don't do that.
He just wants to see two dudes drunk. Live on Double M. I don't get it.
Dirk, don't do that. We're trying to give the people the right mixture, bro. Mixture of what to drink with. I already know a cranberry pineapple with a little cognac. Beautiful chef's kiss. But I like to try different things.
Are you gonna try tequila?
Nope.
How are we gonna do this? So you're not gonna try.
You're tequila? Gonna give the tequila. Options. I'm gonna give the cognac options.
Ah, okay. I thought we was gonna cross.
No crossing over here, buddy.
Tell me. Okay. Sam said it was a margarita, Corona, and Amsterdam.
You didn't have to read it out loud, Mike. You could have just read it to yourself.
They all see it anyway.
You could have read it to yourself, bro.
$8, huh? You know what? That does sound like $8.
First of all, stop it.
Hey, it's college, bro. I get it.
But
we don't want to tell no wild stories from college.
Sam and I got that and just sat in the living room, the dorm room I was at, listening to The Life of Pablo, Kanye's album, and just drinking that. I'm like, yo, this is amazing. This is a really nice mixture. Never made it again. You know, I started making a little bit of change in my life. But if you ever, if you ever low on money, get a margarita, Corona, and an Amsterdam nip.
I also would not be doing that. That sounds beneath me at this point in time in life.
I'm grown.
I'm grown. But we might have to do that. Tequila, cognac.
What tequila would you get?
I'm a big fan of the Rocks tequila right now. That Teremana. Teremana is my go-to tequila right now. Shout out to Dwayne Johnson. What cognac would you get?
Douce, brother. Come on.
All right. And then we'll have some pineapple juice, cranberry juice.
We'll need more options. We'll probably put a poll out on social media. Mm. You know, and make this real poppin'. Sam said he, after that night we had that drink, he got on the trade home folded looking like an imbecile. It was a random day. It was a random day, but we made it work like many college students do. Obviously, everyone drink responsibly and of age, of course.
Yeah, drink responsible out here for sure. As we always say, you know, we don't condone any wild nonsense here on Double
M. Make sure you look in the camera.
We don't
say.
Condone any wild nonsense. Make sure you're of age and you drink responsibly and you are in a safe location where you can gladly tilt your head over and go to sleep if need be.
Yes. Yes. And that's as far as we're going to get to college stories because
we leave those.
I'm grown now. I'm grown. That's how we are titling this episode.
That's exactly what I was just sitting there thinking. Title of episode 87 is I'm grown. I'm grown. Yeah, man. There's so much more we could talk about. How you feeling?
Feeling good, man. I'm feeling good. Summer's winding down, bro. Like, it's a weird time. I don't know what's gonna happen with the world, really, with COVID and such. I know you work in a education field. I work in an education field. I don't know what that's gonna look like at all. So, like, we're in a weird place. We're just in a weird place with COVID, summer ending. But I'm also excited that football's coming back. I missed football. I miss fantasy football. So it's a weird transitional time. August is always a weird time. People are gearing up, getting ready to, you know,
get back to the grind.
Some people have been grinding all summer and are ready to you know, get the cold weather. I already see people saying, I can't wait for the fall, get their fashion up and stuff. So it's a weird time, but We in this together. We in this together, y'all. Yeah, how you feeling?
I'm in that first group of people who, you know, had the summer. But as the fall is coming up, you know, again into September, it's time to really get back in grind mode. I've been in relaxation mode for the last month or some change, but it's getting ready to get back in grind mode. As much as I, you know, talk to you or talk to a friend, work's coming back. In another sense, you know, nothing wrong with being in the grind and, you know, putting forth hard work and effort, especially if you in a field or in a job or have a job that, you know, you enjoy and you don't mind doing. Like Marv said, I'm in the education field, so working with children, you know, I like giving knowledge and wisdom to the youth. The knowledge and wisdom I have, I like giving it back to the youth. So I look forward to seeing a lot of the young faces again, you know, and just having meaningful conversations and just helping them learn, grow, and develop and mature. So I look forward to that and getting back into the grind with what, you know, this school year has to offer. Hopefully COVID and this new variant and whatnot doesn't throw too much of a monkey wrench into how things will play out in the school year for everyone, but you know, it's grind time and fantasy football time. Shout out to Sam. Yeah, it's gonna cause some stress. This fantasy football then leads into fantasy basketball. So that stress is on the way, but it's also fun doing it with people and just having back and forth fun conversations and look forward to that too. But fall's on the way. We ain't there yet, but fall is around the corner.
No, we should just thought about it. Since we do host our fantasy football draft, we should try to do a little video.
A double M fantasy draft special.
Yeah.
Hey, Sam, you in that, bro. We going to set it up. We might have to do a fantasy special live. Go live with it, too.
Mm.
You know, have a good time. Have some fun. I like that idea, Marv. I do. I really do.
Well, with that, we want to thank everyone for watching. We want to thank Massive Media for holding it down week after week. Shout out to our boy Sean. You know, he's got this setup looking right for us. So shout out to Massive Media. Shout out to all of you guys. Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, make sure you share. This show goes out first thing next morning on all podcast platforms. This guy right here, that's Mr. Mike Nice. This DJ Mies. We appreciate you guys, and we'll see you guys next Tuesday, 8 p.m. live.